This morning's scripture reading is taken from the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Luke 4, 14 through 21.
So over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had these two separate traditions, annual traditions, and before now they've had nothing to do with one another, but today we're combining them from this day forward probably. So I want to tell you why that is. The first tradition and the one that's going to survive more or less intact is this tradition called Mission Sunday. And that's what you're about to see, where we have representatives from all these organizations that we partner with come and talk about the work that they're doing. And that's what's going to happen in just a second. The second tradition is what we called Christianity and Politics Sunday. And that always fell around this time of year, this Sunday or next Sunday, last Sunday in October, or first Sunday in November, right before the election. And what that was is we would do, you know, a sermon on some, what's the Christian stance on this or that political question. And by moving, we used to do Mission Sunday in June, by moving it to today, by moving it to replace Christianity and Politics Sunday, what we're trying to say by that is this is our politics. This is what we stand for. This is our agenda. And that's not to say that formal politics isn't important. That's not to say that, I mean, it's a democracy, so we have to be engaged. We have to be participating. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that in the meantime, because politics takes a long time, and things go really wrong. So in the meantime, instead of just begging somebody else to do something about it, instead of going on a Facebook rant, why don't we do something about it? What are we going to do? Not with words, not with rhetoric, but with action, with real dollars. So that's what this is about. That's a statement we're trying to make by moving it to today, is to say we're not going to beg somebody else to put God's agenda into action. We're going to put God's agenda into action. And God does have an agenda. You know, that's what you heard during the scripture reading. That was Jesus' inaugural address. Jesus prayed, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come." What's a kingdom? It's an administration. It's a set of policies. And his agenda, you heard it already. He wants the captive set free. He wants good news preached to the poor. He wants the oppressed set at liberty. He wants the forgotten remembered. He wants the marginalized included. And it's not the government's job to do those things. It's our job to do those things. So that's what this is about. Today, these organizations are doing exactly that. And I'm really excited for you to get to hear from them and to remember that you're working alongside with them. Before I let them come up, just a couple of things. First, I want to thank some people. First and foremost, I want to thank Kara Marriott, who was in charge of this whole process again this year. Massive undertaking. You know, I know of foundations, just to brag a little bit about Kara and our team, I know of foundations that give away less money than we do and have 3 or 4 full-time staff. And yet, we did it all with volunteers. So not only Kara, but also Rebecca Iwerks and Jason Lee, and Randa Jones and Matt Scogan and Jasmine Wood. So that's the committee that put all this together. And I know that, yeah. And the other thing I want to do is just real briefly mention a couple of groups that weren't able to be here today. Two of them are international church planting movements. So one in Barcelona, one in Mongolia, areas where there are very few Bible-believing churches. The last thing Jesus said before he ascends into heaven is go into all the world and make disciples. So that's exactly what these two groups are doing, and we're excited to partner with them. And then another organization that couldn't be here today, but that I'm particularly excited about, is obviously everybody's concerned about power situation in Puerto Rico. And our committee did some amazing work on a really short time frame in finding this organization called Resilient Power that's made up of a who's who of alternative energy executives, such that they're super well connected, and they're able to put solar generators on the ground for about a tenth of the cost of anybody else. And the way they work is they don't do anything until they get the money. So they're only a third of the way funded for the Puerto Rico project right now, and they're just waiting for money to come in. As soon as they got the check from LMCC, they were able to send out the generators, send out the teams, and give power to several more cities that didn't have it before. So pretty excited about that. That's just one of dozens of stories from this year. So to hear the rest, we're going to bring these folks up one at a time. One logistical note, this is going to be very difficult, but I need you to avoid the temptation to clap after every person for the sake of time and for the sake of the recording. So we'll just clap once at the beginning and once at the end. So to start things out, please welcome Pastor Chuck from Father's Heart.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. We do want to say thank you to LMCC because you have stood with us and made us a stronger organization, not only through the financial giving, but because you send volunteers, and also six of you are supervisors with us and have taken our classes and really strengthened us. And it enables us to meet the immediate need of approximately 600 to 700 guests that come each week. And although we meet their immediate need, in the process, there is a heart transformation that happens because of the demonstration of Daddy's not angry, you can come home, and the love of Christ, and also our programs that we've been able to put together with the help of others, and I know one of our partners is here, Open Hands, really helps us to meet the immediate needs of people. But in that process, there's a real heart transformation in our guests, in our volunteers, supervisors, and the pastors. And also, there's 150 volunteers who show up weekly. And that provides us with the ability to be able to meet the needs of those people. But that provides a platform for the volunteers to be able to give back to the community. And it also ignites them with a passion, because if you were there on a Saturday, the volunteers aren't just going through the motions. They're deeply involved, passionate, and we see their passion growing, which is something that we're very grateful for. Also, it enables everyone, whether it's a guest, whether it's a volunteer, a supervisor, a pastor, or we do partner with over 200 churches, corporations, civic groups, alumni associations, as well as one synagogue and one mosque, that they've jumped over the barriers to see the love of Christ come to our guests. And everyone is able to see into their hearts as God sees, not the outward. And for that, we're very grateful, and thank you, LMCC, for standing with us. And with that, I'll turn it over to Kathleen.
Good morning. I'm Kathleen Slocum, and I'm from Open Hands Legal Services. And I just want to thank LMCC for the incredible support that you've provided our organization over the past few years. You've been so faithful, not just financially, but with the amazing volunteers that help us do the work that we do. And at Open Hands, our vision is to see all lives transform through the power of justice and hope. And we do this by providing free legal aid to low-income New Yorkers and homeless New Yorkers throughout the city. Now, sometimes people ask me, why would a poor person need a lawyer? Well, the law can be one of the most powerful anti-poverty tools out there. We can prevent homelessness by helping someone fight an eviction in housing court. We can help someone get access to much-needed health care by navigating the bureaucratic complexity of Medicaid. We can help families stay together through helping them through a really difficult family court case. So we do this with the help of our volunteers. We go directly to soup kitchens and homeless shelters throughout the city, including Father's Heart. And in that way, I think we're very different from other legal aid organizations in the city. We don't wait for people to come to us. We know they're facing so many barriers as it is. We meet them where they are, modeling what Jesus did. And in that, we hope to be able to provide them with the help that they need to overcome these difficult barriers in their lives and to really transform their lives so that they can be the fully flourishing person that God intended them to be. So again, I want, you know, in all humility, I want to thank you for making this work possible for us and for allowing us to partner with so many of these organizations that are here today too.
Good morning. My name is Colby May, and I'll keep this under 2 hours, I promise. Actually, I flew it from Austin, Texas, where it was 30 degrees cooler, so I had to go north to catch the warmth. But anyways, I'm a founder of an organization called LIT. I am a certified energy manager. Basically, what does that mean? I help people manage energy. We've done about 5,000 energy audits. But I'm also a missions pastor, and I went to Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, if anybody is familiar with Gordon-Conwell. But I went to Gordon-Conwell with the idea of wanting to understand, for example, social injustice, biblical injustice. But I came out passionate about missions because if you want to change the hands of a perverted culture, you have to change the heart. So we're passionate about the local church. We're passionate about missions because it leads to a reconciled heart, back to the heart of the Father. So basically, we started LIT with an idea of, again, using energy management to fund missions. So we go into a church, for example, that spends $200,000, $300,000 a year on energy. And the whole idea is going in and performing these energy studies as a means of redirecting the energy spend from Con Ed to what we call holistic missions. So that's the unique intersection that we do. We founded the firm called LIT in 2012 for this direct purpose of using not only energy savings, but solar and renewables as a means to church plant into unreached areas, to pour in, to expand missions and so on and so forth. But one of the stats that we use is in 2013, according to State of the Plate, we tithed $50 billion to the U.S. church. $10 billion of that, or 20%, was spent on energy and maintenance of our buildings. You know, I appreciate buildings. If it wasn't without buildings, I wouldn't have a job, right? But we spent, another factor was we spent $1 billion, or 2%, on cross-cultural missions. What if we could go in and free up another $2 to $3 billion in triple, if not quadruple, cross-cultural missions? So that's kind of the unique intersection that we have. So we have an LLC called LIT Consulting, but we also have a nonprofit called LIT International, which we have partnered with you guys. And through that partnership, one of the things that we were able to do, and I don't know if we have that slide there or not, that's okay. One of the things we were able to do is we were able to donate $121,000 in order to start 46, we call this a long word, bivocational indigenous missionaries. The whole idea of trying to address poverty alleviation, it's not a loan. We don't ask them to pay it back. We ask that they pay it forward. And one other thing that we did in Congo, which is part of the Kivu conflict, that's kind of where we did. I did my thesis, and it's part of the Rwandan genocide overflow. We had a training of 65 pastors we were able to do to help with conflict resolution. I mean, there's just a lot of ugly stats going on there. It's just a big ugly mess. But starting with the pastors, because the pastors are the leaders, and the transformation we want to bring is through the local church. And through the local church, hopefully, this whole thing we call holistic missions, where it's proclamation and demonstration of the gospel. So again, in a nutshell, it's an organization called LIT, and just a different means of, we use energy savings. We partner with LL87 here in New York City quite a bit as well, but we use energy savings, or good Christian stewardship, in this environmental aspect to fund and equip, through knowledge and job creation, the local church through holistic missions. So that's where we are. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lee Saura, and I'm the volunteer coordinator for CASA NYC. CASA NYC is a volunteer-based organization that works with one of the most vulnerable populations in New York City, which is children that have been affected by the foster care system. And so we work with approximately 140 advocates who are the voice for these children. So there are many players in the court system. There's the judge, there's attorneys, there's the parents' attorneys, et cetera, et cetera. But we're there to ensure that the child's needs are being met. And so last year we were able to work with over 1,003 families to ensure that these children were either brought back home or adopted by a family. And so our goal is to ensure that each child is given a safe space and done in an efficient manner. Sadly, the court system in New York, like other bureaucratic systems, take a very long time. And then children just dwell in foster care homes and group homes and et cetera. And so our goal is to ensure that that happens for the least amount that it could. And so we want to thank LMCC for the opportunity to bring us volunteers to donate your time. You've also made really wonderful donations that have allowed us to create a new initiative. It's called the Pregnant and Parenting Youth Initiative, and that's working with foster kids who are either pregnant or have recently have kids, and so providing them with essentials like diapers and wipes, which are exorbitantly priced when you're buying it from your local bodega as opposed to a Costco or a BJ's. And so we're really grateful to you all for the donation of volunteers and items such as that. We have some materials located in the back, and I'm more than happy to speak with any and all of you.
Good morning. I'd like to start off by saying thank you, LMCC, for the partnership that you've had with DeFi. This really is an honor and privilege to be here to be able to present DeFi to you. So DeFi Ventures is a nonprofit organization that transforms illegal hustle, like drug dealing and gang leading, into legal hustle through a Shark Tank competition and business incubator. Our work is driven by the belief that everybody deserves a second chance, and that nothing is irredeemable. Now, DeFi is my personal second chance. When I was 15, I made a horrible decision, and because of that, I ended up spending 3 years in a juvenile prison on a 12-year sentence. But when I was released from prison, I joined DeFi's program, and after getting a mentor from the program, I was able to start up two technology companies and get an MBA and a Master of Science degree on a full-ride scholarship. So DeFi, I know that DeFi works because it's worked in my life. And today, I'd like to invite you to become a mentor or a coach at one of our programs. So on November 13th, you can come and be a judge for one of our Shark Tank competitions. On November 30th, you can come and be a coach at one of our post-release events. You can come to prison with us. On December 4th, we're launching into a women's prison in Connecticut. Or you can transform hustle inside a men's prison in upstate New York on December 5th. So my email should be up there, jwang@defyventures.com. Anyways, .org, we're an organization. So thank you so much for allowing us to be here, and I'll see you in prison soon.
Good morning. My name is Peter Lukaciu. I'm working with Romanian Evangelistic Medical Mission. This is a great privilege. It's a great honor for me to be here. Thank you for your great help and support. I was born in Romania, in the northwest part of Romania, which is called Transylvania. Certainly you heard about Transylvania, Dracula, vampire, horrible things from there. But almost for half a century, it was a line that separated us. It was a Berlin Wall. It was an iron curtain. And I work as a medical doctor in Romania, but I was born in a very strong Christian family. I grew up in a small church that always, during communism, always presented in the church that this is my church, Jesus said, and the gate of the hell will not overcome it. Beyond, I grew up in that communist country. In the school, you have been forced learn communism in order to be medical doctor, in order to be lawyer, in order to be teacher. You need to be a communist. So I had two visions to say. One was from communism, that they prevail in the whole world. And another one was from the church, that this gospel will be preached in the whole world. Maybe you remember, during communism, some people came to border of Romania. At the border of Romania, they had been asked, do you have with you guns? Do you have with you drugs? Or do you have with you Bibles? In Romania, secret police burned, destroyed thousands of Bibles and killed many preachers. This is, maybe you remember, in 1989. It was incredible, incredible year. Beyond our imagination that communism collapsed. Country after country, Poland, Hungary, and somebody said, how about Romania? Romania has most oppressive and repressive regime, one of the strongest secret police. And the leader, dictator of Romania, said this will never happen in Romania. And yet, December 89, we have a bloody revolution. The dictator of Romania was overthrown, and he was executed on the Christmas Day. It was unbelievable what ABC, NBC, mass media here in the States show after that, what was in paradise of communism. When I saw that, in Romanian orphanages, naked children crawling on the floor, and people were shocked to see images like that. Immediately after that, I invited Christian doctors from here to build a bridge and to proclaim Year of the World that you heard, to proclaim Year of the World in Romania, and to invite Christian doctors. And for 25 years, more than 25 years, Christian doctors from all over, including from New York, they came to in Romania to do evangelism, to do discipleship, to plant churches, to do VBS, to do all kinds of programs like this to advance and to proclaim the Year of the Lord. Immediately after we saw images with orphans, with abandoned children, my wife and me, we started a ministry, and we have an orphanage, a Christian orphanage called Casa Joseph. My wife was much involved in to help over 60 children from that orphanage or from through our organization to find a father and a mother here in the United States. So all over the United States, we have about 60 children that they can say, or they are in the church today, they can say mother and father. Please pray. My daughter and my son-in-law, they are here in your church. Please pray that the last girls in our orphanage, they are adopted in their family, and in a few weeks they will come to your church. Please pray that this open door will be, and they will be here in a few weeks. I want to close with this. I know what is communism. I know what is in communist country, they say religion is poison for the people, is darkness, keep people in slavery. And I know what it means to bring the gospel to orphans who today they are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know what today is to bring the gospel in hospitals in Romania. I know what it means to bring the gospel in Romanian universities today. Just I came back from Romania about 3 weeks ago. And I met with some teachers from Washington, D.C. We talked with a leader in Romania and talked how to start an institute for freedom of religion in Romania, in Romania University, to teach Romanians about more about love of God and to share love of God with them. We started in Romania Police Christian Association because police was involved in destroying the Bible. And we have one of the largest Christian police association in entire Europe, starting with program with Christian police friends. Thank you so much. God bless you.
No clapping. Good morning. My name is Joe Cheslock. I'm the U.S. director for a nonprofit organization called True Sojourners. True Sojourners employs and partners with workers in the hardest to reach places to catalyze disciple-making movements. So we have workers scattered throughout the Middle East and Northern Africa and predominantly unreached Muslim nations. So there's really kind of two tiers to our ministry. The first tier is the humanitarian aid work that we do as an organization, providing vulnerable people groups with access to education, vocational assistance, and physical aid. And that's kind of the ministry that you'll read about on our website. But the second tier of our ministry, which you won't read about on our website, is the under-the-radar work that's done that we refer to as frontier disciple-making. This is sowing the gospel among unreached people groups in the Muslim world. This is the heartbeat of true sojourners, and that's the reason we exist. It's also the end goal of all of our humanitarian aid work. There's a couple of particular ministries I want to highlight this morning. One of them is our, you'll see the slide for our refugee aid ministry. So True Sojourners has affiliates that are living and working full-time in communities with the world's highest concentration of refugees. One of our affiliates actually shares an apartment complex with over 600 Syrian refugees. So praise God, we're well-positioned for a sustainable response to the refugee crisis. And we're not talking about handing out blankets and water bottles. There's a lot of organizations doing that kind of work, which is great. But for our Arabic-speaking partners that live in country, these refugee families are not just another humanitarian aid project. These are neighbors with whom they share their homes and the same language in their life, and most importantly, the fullness of the gospel. There's some amazing work that's being done through ministries like our refugee children's school in Turkey. I'd love to share more about that ministry with anyone who's interested after the service. The second ministry I want to quickly highlight for you this morning is our migrant worker aid ministry. All across the region where our partners are based, there are tens of thousands of men and women who've moved far away from home, desperately seeking economic opportunity. And unfortunately, as a result of broken promises and false expectations, many of these migrant workers wind up stuck in a foreign country for years, not just months and weeks, but years, away from their families, where they're first forced to work at minimal pay because their immigration rights were unfairly revoked. It's an incredibly sad situation, but our partners have the privilege of being able to build relationships with these very special people and to minister to some of their needs. Just last month, actually, we were able to help a woman who was caught in a human trafficking situation to recover her passport and her eyesight, actually, with the help of a local colleague who's an eye doctor. And then we're actually able to work with some friends in the government to get her cleared to return home once and for all. It's an amazing, amazing story. But, you know, when you do something with no strings attached like that for a person in that sort of situation, it opens up their heart to hear what you have to share. And that's when the real ministry begins. And that's really the heart of True Sojourners. We have the privilege and the burden at times of ministering to a lot of people with some very critical physical needs. But we recognize and respond to the fact that the most important, the greatest need of those that we're ministering to is for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we exist. That's why True Sojourners exists, why it does the work that it does. And, you know, thanks to the support of churches like Lower Manhattan, we've got some very cool and exciting stories about how God is doing some of that work. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Andrew. I'm with Do For One. I'm the director of Do For One. We're built on one simple but important conviction, which is that people's needs, you and I's needs, cannot fully be met unless we have personal relationships. So that's why our mission is a relationship building program for people who have developmental disabilities. You might think of us as like a matchmaking service, just a non-romantic one. And so through many of the relationships that we've established and supported, we've seen people with developmental disabilities get jobs, gain membership in churches, and gain roles in churches. We've seen people gain friends, gain hobbies, discover who they are in life. Our work is on Roosevelt Island, Upper West Side, and currently some stuff growing in Queens. We are expanding through what we call community circles. And an invitation to you is, if you're interested in learning more about us, you can come and visit one of those communities and even consider launching one of your own down here in Lower Manhattan. Your church is amazing. Your generosity is amazing. You're a beacon of light in the city, probably much more than you realize. I love being able to say that the church holds us up in these dark places. So thank you so very much.
Good morning. My name is Amanda Eckhart. I'm here from Restore NYC. And I'm going to open up with a scripture that is at the very center of the work that we do at Restore. It is the same scripture you all shared in your scripture reading. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. It is because of the work of Jesus. And we read this in Luke 4. It can also be found in Isaiah 61. He proclaims freedom for the captives. And because of the hands and feet of the community here at LMCC and the work that is taking place on the ground, we see women set free from slavery every day at Restore. Like Sarah. Sarah was recruited for a job here in Manhattan where she was promised to make $2,000 a week in massage. She arrived at her new workplace. This was in an apartment, and she was locked in. Her first customer held her at gunpoint, and she was forced to sell her body to over a dozen men a day. Her trafficker later told her, just stay and finish the work. Our law enforcement partners and counselors helped her to escape and find a place of safety. And Sarah recently completed our economic empowerment program, and she is now connected with one of our business partners and is living independently. Sarah is one of over 1,300 women that Restore has served since the first survivor of human trafficking came into our doors 8 years ago at Restore. And on behalf of our team at Restore, my colleagues Elizabeth and Courtney, who are here with me today, we bless your congregation in the name of Jesus. And we encourage you in your fight to do his mission work here in New York City. Thank you.
How's it going, everybody? My name's Jake. I'm the executive pastor at Restoration Community Church in the South Bronx. So at Restoration, we're about three things. This is what we say our work is. We're about being on the block for the city, showing off the glory of Christ. And I'll break that down real quick. On the block, we're a neighborhood church. We're about presence and proximity. And we believe that if we're going to join God's work here in the South Bronx, as our pastor says, the South Bronx must be home much earlier than it is mission. It must be home first. So we live, we eat, we hang out in our home. That's what you do, right? That's so natural. We celebrate, we throw parties, we invite people who don't believe what we believe but can be received and experience the kingdom of God, the family of God, without strings attached. So we're on the block. We're for the city. We can't just be present and in proximity. We have to do justice. We have to go into justice. And this year we've been fortunate to officially partner with Wonderfully Made, which is a family socialization program in our neighborhood. And we've been able to mobilize volunteers and financially partner in ways that without contributions from people like you guys, it wouldn't be possible. So we're for the city. And then lastly, we're showing off the glory of Christ. All of our efforts would be that God would be glorified in the South Bronx. So we preach the gospel, we preach the good news in truth and in love, and we trust that God gives the increase. And just a few weeks ago, we celebrated eight of our folks in our church who decided to follow Jesus with their lives and be baptized. And so we show off the glory of Christ. So these are the three things we're about, all with the one dream that the South Bronx would be saved in Jesus Christ. And your partnership makes that dream a possibility. So thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Mike Park, and I'm with Hope Church NYC. We're a diverse family of church plants here in the city. And our founding pastor, Drury Hunt, has been with you a few times. And I got to tell you, he tells everybody that LMCC is his favorite church in New York. And I keep telling him, you know you pastor another church, right? You need to stop saying that. So it's a tie. So we're grateful for you. We thank God for LMCC and your partnership. In the last 5 years, we've been able to plant 9 new churches in here in the city, in Long Island and Jersey City, because Jersey counts too. And it's been an incredible thing. I get to lead our Hope West Side plant on the Upper West Side, and almost exactly 6 months ago, we got sent out from our Midtown church and commissioned and sent to plant this new work on the Upper West Side. And after the service, I was introduced to a young woman named Anna. Anna was graduating Columbia in a few weeks, had never been to church before, was invited by a friend. And we went out for coffee a little bit later, and she told me that 6 weeks before that, she had never been in contact with a Christian or Christianity. But she was going through kind of a difficult time. She was getting ready to graduate. And a friend of hers who was in that same class asked her if she could pray for her. And she said yes. And it made such a deep impression on her that when that same friend invited her to come to church, she said yes. So we're sitting down at coffee, and I said, what would you like to talk about? And she pulls out her phone with a list of questions. She had been thinking about this for a while. And I said, ask any question you want. She says, okay, the first one, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to ask you. So what is it? Well, I'm not white and I'm not a Republican. Is it okay for me to be a Christian? And I said, I sure hope so. And I said, absolutely. Of course it is. So we sat and talked about what Christianity is all about. And she didn't know it, but we actually did a Bible study on the book of Acts together. 2 weeks later, we have our very first launch team meeting on Mother's Day. My wife has forgiven me since then. And Anna shows up. And we go around and share kind of what brought us there. And she says, I'm so happy that this church is starting right now at the same time that I'm starting my journey of faith. I'm glad that we get to start this together. So I want to say, LMCC, thank you so much. Thank you so much for partnering with us and being a part of this new work that we get to create communities of faith and churches for people like Anna all around the city and around the world. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Chris Whitford, and I'm here with Avail New York City. Avail exists to help women in need who are facing unexpected pregnancy or unresolved feelings after an abortion. Since 1996, we have empowered New Yorkers with holistic support and resources at no cost to our clients to bring hope and healing. The abortion rate in New York City is actually double the national average. And that tells us that New York women often do not feel supported or equipped to parent. So we come alongside them and we bring them the care that they need, and it works. This year, over 64% of the women who walk through our doors change their minds about abortion, and 100% of our clients report that they've had a positive experience at Avail. Women often struggle with unresolved feelings after an abortion, and they have nowhere to turn. So Avail Hope is our ministry. It's our after-abortion care program, and we provide a welcoming and safe environment for women to find healing, either through one-on-one relationships with our client advocates or through our group support. We are so thankful for the partnership that LMCC provides for us. And I have two things to say today. If you or anyone you know is in need of our services, we are here for you. We are to be the one that makes the difference for you or your friends. And if you'd like to volunteer with us, there are many ways that you can be involved to make a difference in the lives of men and women in this city. We've been offering hope and healing to New Yorkers when life has not gone as they have expected. And your partnership with us enables us to create a city where life is valued and where lives are transformed. Thank you so very much.
Hello, everyone. My name is Robert Lee. I'm one of the co-founders of Rescuing Leftover Cuisine. We're an organization that brings leftover food to homeless shelters from restaurants, catering companies, and other food businesses to homeless shelters like the New York City Rescue Mission that you'll hear from. So we basically are targeting food waste because over 40% of the food that we produce in this country is wasted. And what we do is we crowdsource the transportation problem, the distribution problem, to the public so that volunteers can go online and sign up. And we welcome you guys all to sign up online at rescuingleftovercuisine.org to help bring excess food from your local restaurant to your local homeless shelter. With LMTC's help, we've been able to expand to places like Tulsa and Chicago, and we really appreciate everything that you guys are doing for us. Thank you.
And I hope you know that those of us that have local ministries, we like each other and we work together because we can't buy food anymore. Our food budget went away because Robert, literally hundreds of tons of food. We feed over 500 people a day, and about 450 are the food that you're providing. And then Open Hands Legal Service has their headquarters in our building now, and our homeless clients get first dibs at the attorneys that help them. So we love working together as well. So my name is Craig Mays. I'm the CEO of the New York City Rescue Mission. And I think there should be a picture up there from ancient past. This October 9th, I think it was, we celebrated our 145th birthday. Serving New York City since 1872. I've been the CEO from the very beginning. I'm the founder. Because I discovered the fountain of youth. If you give your life to serving the poor and homeless, God will bless you with a long, productive life. So I'm excited about that. One of the things since I was here last year that we've launched is a work program, and it's been amazing. There's a floor plan. I won't talk you through that, but we have the gateway doors to emergency shelter, but we have nearly 100 men and women now that are being trained to work or have jobs. And every week I see a man or woman get a key to their own apartment. So we're really helping them thrive spiritually, emotionally, physically. And you guys have meant so much to us as a partner. We love you. We're right in your neighborhood. So come by and volunteer if you haven't done that. And the last thing, and every single one up here would say this, that in the end, it's not the numbers, it's the person. It's the one life at a time that has changed. And a week from today, I'm not going to be in church. I'm going to skip church because I'm going to be running the New York City Marathon with these three guys. Charles, who was with me when I came and spoke in August, and Hector and Mike and a couple others that, imagine this, were homeless not too long ago. Charles, 30 years of crack addiction, living in a Port Authority, and next week we're going to be running 26.2 miles together. Now, I'm exaggerating when I say run. I'm going to be moving, but thank you.
Good morning. My name is Emily Prinz, and I am the founder and director of Expect Hope, a Christ-centered residential program for expectant women in New York City. We exist to provide a supportive residence for expectant women who are building self-sustainable lives founded on faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me break that down for you. Essentially, this is when a woman finds herself in a crisis pregnancy, and we, as Chris shared from Avail, we actually live in the abortion capital of our country, New York City. And many of these women are choosing abortions because of lack of support and lack of other options. So we exist to be a long-term support program. So women will come into our program who have chosen to parent at any stage of pregnancy. They could have just found out and not been showing, or they could look like me and be on their way to the hospital after service is over. And so then they will stay with us until their child's second birthday. And in that time, we will match them with mentors, which I'd love to invite each of you to explore. We'll match each woman with an individual mentor as well as a mentor family, that they will build a social support system, attend church, attend birthday parties, go out for pizza, because we understand that these women cannot be dependent on our staff for the rest of their lives. So once they graduate, we really want the greater body of Christ to come around them and form that support system. The first year they're with us, they will be pursuing academic goals. We will provide life skills, classes to them, counseling, teaching. Everything we provide to them will be Christ-centered, gospel-based, because we understand we can't just be a social service agency. We can't even be vaguely faith-based. We really have to be Christ-centered, because that is where the true heart change is affected, and that's how unhealthy cycles are broken in all of our lives. And so then the second year they're with us, they will be working, and they will be saving all of their money so that once they graduate the program, they can be an independent head of household with their child. New York City is also the most expensive place in the country to live. So I don't think those two things are a coincidence, and I don't think it's also a coincidence that God has placed us with this vision, with this mission in this city at this time. And I'm so grateful for all of your partnership, and we're so excited to be opening our doors and making this vision a reality in January. We also will be partnering with Avail. They will be giving us referrals. There are so many women in this city who desire to parent but cannot because boyfriend will kick them out. Parents will kick them out if they choose to choose life. And so I thank you for making life a possibility. Please see us in the back. There are many volunteer opportunities, teaching a life skills class, being a mentor, hosting an event, and we'd love to have you a part of it. Thank you very much.
Hello, everybody. I'm Michael Kennedy. I'm a member here at LMCC, and I'm a volunteer with Shalom Reconciliation Ministry. I'm very honored to represent them today. One of the things that I'd like to share is this is an organization in the Karamoja region of Uganda. They serve about 175 youth, and they serve them in a number of ways. They provide home for orphans. They provide social services. They provide sponsorship for education. They provide after-school youth programs and are making an amazing impact in this region. LMCC has been a partner for several years now and really helped execute the vision of bringing reconciliation. And what I mean by reconciliation is they're bringing reconciliation for these youth with their father. So in the case of orphans or broken homes, they're reconciling them to God our Father. But they're also, where possible, bringing reconciliation with extended families. And I want to share one example with you that touched me and my family. So I've been there twice. A number of the other people from the church have been to the organization in Uganda. And my daughter here somewhere, Alea, she's been there twice. And I think there's a picture of Monday. No? Okay. Well, anyway. So, little girl named Monday. The first year we went there, this is a girl. She has two siblings. They were taken in by the home. The mother was murdered by the father. The father fled, was eventually imprisoned. And when we saw this little girl, it was just heartbreaking. And you really need to stop by and ask Alea about it. She spent tons of time with her, but she was mute, wasn't talking, was just in shock. 1 year later, the transformation we saw in this young girl was astounding. And that's just one of many, many stories and testimonies of what the work that God is doing there. So you get to be a part of that. You have been a part of it. And really, thank you for the sponsorship. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Richard. I am one of the pastors at the Gathering Harlem. We are a new church plant that just launched. Today's our seventh Sunday. And so apologize. As soon as I'm done, I have to run right out because we have some stuff to do, being such a new church plant. But yeah, so we launched in Harlem 7 weeks ago. Our vision was to be a church for the unchurched. And so in a neighborhood like Harlem that is quickly experiencing gentrification, we didn't want to be a church that was going to be bashing towards gentrification or bashing towards our white brothers and sisters in the community. We wanted to say we want to be a church that's going to build bridges to reconciliation. And so we know we hurt in isolation and we heal in community. And so our church from the very inception has been to be that. How can we have tough conversations about the things that matter in our communities? But then how can we also bring renewal to our community? How can we use our privilege and our ways? And when I say us, I mean even those of us who are people of color, of saying there's things that we have that we can also use to empower our community. And so since we've launched, we've had in the first couple weeks, we've had two salvations, which has been amazing. Two people, one person who had no relationship with Christ and one person who was a Jehovah's Witness and started visiting our church through a friend of theirs. And so we, being a church for the unchurched, we're constantly reminding our congregation that we're not going to just kind of stay within the four walls of our church. We're going to constantly push to reach the people who are not there. And we tell our people all the time, we love you guys that you're here, but we're really seeking to fill the seats for the people who are not here. And so sometimes it's hard for our congregation to hear because they're like, man, I'm coming every Sunday. And we're like, absolutely. You guys are the people who are going to be the culture shapers in our community. And so, yeah, we're working every week to do that. We are working to reach youth in our community. And so our lead pastor, Kenny, who couldn't be here today, is a native to the neighborhood. And so it's no better person to have a pulse in the community of what's going on than someone like him. And so we're thankful for churches like LMCC because we do get funding from churches outside of the city, but it's a huge statement when we get funding and support from a church within our city because it's important and crucial for us church plants to have the resources and partnerships with people who are understand our context, understand the struggle of New York City and the diversity. And so we're super thankful for everyone, and thank you guys for supporting us.
All right, now you can clap. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we know what it is that you want us to do. We see it presented so clearly in your word, and you know how often we fall short, how often we're disobedient, how often we just focus on the things we care about and ignore the things that you care about. But today we celebrate some deviation from that normal pattern. We celebrate these men and women here today doing your work, and we thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.